You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. Welcome into First Take on a feel-good Friday. Thank you for sort of starting your weekend here with us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, Molly Karam Rose, and gentlemen, the MVP race, it's a fluid situation, like a Stephen's A's list. Joel Embiid sat down with Stephen A. Stephen A., I understand that interview will air in its entirety on Monday, correct? SportsCenter with Stephen A. at 7 p.m. Eastern.
A part of it will air on SportsCenter with Stephen A. Monday night, and then the interview in its entirety will air on Stephen A.'s World the following day.
Can't wait.
Okay. Awesome. And then we also have Damian Lillard making his case. He joined Jalen and Jacoby. So let's hear from both of them right now.
You know, when Shaq won his MVP, you know, averaging 29.7 and the 13 boards, you know, I'm up there when it comes to stats. And, you know, also, you know, being the best team in the East, you know, what more can you ask? And you look at the last two MVPs, same thing, Giannis. I mean, those were his numbers, and he had the best record in the East.
You know, I feel like I'm really in the mix for it. And you, when you consider how people are defended, you know, I watch a lot of NBA games. I watch a lot of NBA games, and I just feel like the people who would, you know, have a vote for MVP or talk about who's MVP and who's not, you know, I don't feel like everybody really watched these games, because if they did, they would see how I'm being face guarded full court and double teamed near half court and trapped. What does the MVP look like? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you making a case off of? Because a lot of people, like I said, are just not being defended the way I'm being defended. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a stronger case this year than I ever have. And I think I'm deserving of it. You know, that's just mm-hmm. the truth.
All right, y'all. Max, I'm going to start with you. Dame time or your guy, Joel Embiid? I know you originally had him. Who do you think's making the stronger case for MVP at this moment?
Damian Lillard. And Jokic would be my pick for MVP by a hair over Lillard, because in the last couple weeks, games that were not understandable given the load he's had to carry this season. Look, Embiid game for game, I'm not arguing. He was my MVP, as you remember, Stephen A., to start the season right up until he got hurt. Missed a little too much time. Even at that point, he had missed some games, but I was like, he's playing so much better than everyone else. That included LeBron, by the way. I thought he was clearly the best in the league. I'd have given him the MVP. Also carrying team and all that stuff, missed too much time. You know who hasn't missed time? Damian Lillard. You know who didn't have a team around him, but was carrying his team to a good record anyway and winning games with enormous? Damian Lillard. Stephen A., it was you who set up on this show, what was that, maybe not even a month ago, something like that, talking about you needed to apologize to Damian Lillard because we have not paid enough attention to him. Now, partly that's because he doesn't play, you know, play in a glamour market. Partly that's because it's the West Coast and the games are on late. Partly it's because he resembles another guard that we've seen who's done amazing things, Steph Curry. I get, you know, and Steph has already done that, right? That's all true. But Damian Lillard, just the forget about the fact that he carries his team, that he doesn't chase rings, that he stayed right where he was, that he's the leader that he is. When you put up numbers just about as good as anyone's, when you don't miss any time, when you lead your team in spite of injuries all around you, no one there to help you, and you are, no one disputes this, by the way, the most clutch player in the game since he's come in the league. Not only do our eyeballs say that, and by reputation we believe it, all the numbers say it. You're also the most clutch guy? No. Damian Lillard right now is neck and neck with Jokic for MVP ahead of Embiid.
Well, I'm not going to dispute that because I definitely think, as I pointed out a few weeks ago, it's time that we give Damian Lillard his props. This dude is playing sensational basketball throughout this season. To do so without C.J. McCollum, without Nurkic for a vast majority of those times, inserting new guys like Covington and others into the mix, Damian Lillard deserves all the credit in the world. Here's where the problem lies. And Joel Embiid brought this up. Number one, as it pertains to Joel Embiid, they're number one in the Eastern Conference. They've got the best record in the Eastern Conference and one of the best records in basketball. And that has to count for something. Now, they've been like 8-6 this year without Joel Embiid. And I think they went like 7-2 or 8-1 in a 9-game stretch or so that he was out over a couple of weeks or so because of that knee injury. But the bottom line is that nobody can deny that he's been absolutely positively dominant in the 5 games that he's played pretty much since his return. Other than a 14-point game, he had 35, 36, 39, 38, if I remember correctly. He's been pretty much unstoppable and on both ends of the floor, and the Sixers are the number one seed. So that's an argument that you would make in favor of Embiid, even though he's played 15 less games. In the case of the Joker, Nikola Jokic, that is where it gets really, really interesting and dicing for Damian Lillard as it pertains to his aspirations. You're talking about a guy in Jokic that's averaging 26, 11, and 8, nearly 9 assists per game. You're talking about a guy that's playing for the Denver Nuggets that's the number 4 seed in the Western Conference, 3.5 games better than the 6-seeded Portland Trailblazers. And he's clearly the face of that franchise, and he's clearly the leader of that franchise in terms of who's the go-to man, who's the franchise player for them, even though we all love Jamal Murray and definitely hope he gets better after suffering his torn ACL the other night. But you look at Jokic, and there is just no question what he brings to the table as well. So if you're Damian Lillard and you have to contend with Jokic out west, who's got a better record, he's 3.5 games better, he hasn't missed a single game, pretty much just he's been just as available as you have been. The one argument that you can make in Damian Lillard's favor is the fact that C.J. McCollum missed so many games along with Nurkic. That's the best argument you can make outside of the fact that he's clutch as well. He's the best clutch player in basketball. One could easily argue with Damian Lillard and what he's been able to do since 2012. But on one hand, again, it's Embiid winning, number one seed in the Eastern Conference. And in the West, you've got an MVP candidate that has a better record and has been just as reliable as you have been in terms of games being played while he's doing that. That's where Damian Lillard runs into a roadblock. But it's an interesting and compelling argument to make for everybody.
Look, I'll say this about Embiid. Embiid, it was on Basketball Reference today. There are certain like offensive ratings, defensive ratings, and usage rate. Right now, if the season ended now, he would have a combination of those numbers that no one's ever had. The other guys on the list are like Michael Jordan appears on the list 3 times and someone else amazing appears on the list. I'll tell you right now, and Kevin Durant appears on that list once. Pretty good company, right? And who knows if he ends the season like that. But game for game, Embiid has been the best player in basketball. His main competition comes from James Harden, because Harden's had an amazing impact this season. Both of them have missed too much. I'm going to take them all. Like, you can't miss 19 games and win the MVP when there are this many great players in the league. So I'm taking them off the list. You make a very good case for Jokic, and in fact, I agree with you. I would give it to Jokic by a hair, because as I said, there were a couple games in recent weeks where Lillard fell off his incredibly high standards. And it's understandable because he's exhausted, right? He's had to carry the load. Let's see what Jokic does now without Jamal Murray the rest of the way, because that's what Lillard's been dealing with more than that. No, you mentioned it, no McCollum, no Nurkic. And anyway, his team isn't as good as Jokic's, and it's not just because you may think Jokic is better than Lillard. So Lillard's been having to carry this enormous load the entire time, and as a result of that, I think he deserves extra credit. I still have Jokic ahead of him by a hair. I think it's Jokic and Lillard. It's a two-horse race as we come down the stretch.
Well, but what if Embiid continues to do what he's been doing and doesn't miss any more games? I think it was the 77-78 season, if I remember correctly, when Bill Walton won the MVP, and he had missed 24 games that season. I mean, the situation is that, again, some of us are going to count games missed against Joel Embiid. Some may not, if that's all the games that he's missed and he remains as dominant as he has been, and the Philadelphia 76ers end up being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. these are the kind of things that Damian Lillard has to pay attention to. And he's absolutely right in terms of people watching games. Some people don't watch games at all. I'm certainly not one of those people, but in the same breath, in defense of a lot of voters, yeah, you're going to watch the games, but guess what? You can't watch every single game. I mean, the fact of the matter is you're going to sit up there and you're going to watch the fourth quarter in one game, the first half in another game. You're going to go back and forth, watching these games and paying attention. You're going to read articles. You're going to look at numbers and stats and things of that nature. So he's absolutely right in terms of people not being able to watch games start to finish. But it doesn't mean we're blind. We know that C.J. McCollum was out. We know that Nurkic is out. We know what Damian Lillard has had to deal with. And even though I think that Terry Stotts, you know, knows what he's doing as a coach, in the same breath, there's been no changes. You pretty much know what's coming with the Portland Trailblazers night in and night out. There's never been any tweaks that we have seen in regards to his coaching. So that's another thing I think is working against Damian Lillard. And then, of course, you know, the power in the Western Conference. But just like the power in the Western Conference should be taken into consideration for him, it's got to be taken into consideration for Jokic. And that's where, again, it's a challenge. But Damian Lillard could still win the award the way that he's been balling throughout the season. It's about the stretch run, and that's what it comes down to. I don't rule out any of the three. And, oh, by the way, if Harden comes back sooner than later, I'm not ruling him out either, because it can't happen when you consider what he was doing on the basketball court.
Fluid situation. I told you to start the segment. Guys, I thought this was a pretty interesting note. The only players with more points and assists through nine seasons than Damian Lillard, that would be LeBron James and Oscar Robertson. Pretty good company to be in. Maybe people need to watch the games.
Those are big
we'll keep
dudes.
It going. Steph Curry with the shot, cooking it up again. Scores 30 again, fellas. 33 points Thursday night in a victory at Cleveland. Steph has a chance to tie Kobe on this list in the Warriors' next game, which is 8:30 p.m. Eastern Saturday at Boston on ABC for most consecutive 30-point games over the age of 33. Stephen A., is Steph Curry the best guard in the NBA?
I got to tell you this. If the Golden State Warriors were winning basketball games, he would definitely be in this MVP conversation, because he's the greatest shooter we've ever seen. And that's when, you know, whenever I speak to any guards in the NBA, that's what I talk about when I talk about Steph Curry. You want to talk about him being the best guard of the NBA? Obviously, you got to take defense into consideration, and nobody is going to accuse Steph Curry of being a stout or an outstanding defender. We're not going to go that far. From the offensive standpoint, I will tell you this. There is not a guard in the NBA that I would rather have than Steph Curry. And that includes Damian Lillard. And I love me some Damian Lillard. But Steph Curry is the greatest shooter I've ever seen in my life. And you literally have to pick him up from half court. As a result, it stretches out defenses and opens the floor for Golden State's offense because of what Steph Curry brings to the table. And the fact that he's been able to do what he has been doing without the services of Klay Thompson really, really cements his greatness as far as I'm concerned. And if we look at it right now, what is the dude averaging? He's averaging 30.7 points per game on 48.9% shooting from the field, 42.2% from three-point range. Steph Curry, this is who we're talking about here. He's a career 43.4% shooter from three-point range. He's the greatest shooter God ever created. I don't care what anybody says. I've never seen anybody like him. Spot-up shooters, you're right, jump shooters, dudes that are on the move, dudes that are standing still. None of them can do it all like Steph Curry can do in terms of creating his own jump shot. I've never seen it in my life. And because of that, is why I'd say he's the best guard, because people can't do what he can do. No matter if they can score 30, they can average 30, 35 or whatever. They can't spread the floor and open the offense the way that he can, outside of maybe Damian Lillard. He's the only one in the conversation. But I still wouldn't put him ahead of Steph Curry as a shooter. And because that's the reality of the situation, I would tell you that Steph Curry's the best guard. But he's certainly not a leading candidate for MVP, because Golden State is not winning enough games.
If he was the best guard, they'd be winning more games, because Damian Lillard's team was winning games even when he was the only dude on the team. They were winning, Stephen A.
Matt, he was never the only dude on the team. You see Portland's roster compared to Golden State's?
Well, Golden State, I mean, okay, Wiseman wound up getting hurt, and he's young, but he's athletic. Draymond Green. It's not like they had nobody. In fact, they put the Oubre and guys that they picked up. I was the one saying I didn't think they had enough shooting. You and I debated this. I didn't think to start the season they had enough shooting. But his team is not winning as much as Lillard's. Now, I'll say this. What am I going to sit here and pretend Damian Lillard's way better than Steph Curry? Of course not. It's close. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter of all time, Stephen. I don't think anyone disputes that for the reasons you point out. It's not just that he can shoot in a variety of spot up. He can get his off the dribble, whatever you want him to do from a million miles away. He's the greatest shooter ever. Until it matters most. He had a great series, especially when it mattered most, in that final series against Toronto. Until then, I did not consider him a great shooter in the finals when it mattered most. We haven't seen Damian Lillard in that situation yet, but as we said, he's the most clutch player in the NBA. Undisputed, by the way. No one really disputes it. Health. No one really disputes it, and that's with eyeballs and stats, right? That's Lillard. So if it's close in a lot of respects, and one dude's that much more clutch, and one dude's team is winning more, though they fill similar roles, I find it hard to argue Steph over Damian Lillard at this moment. Now, what about James Harden this year? I'm not going to say he's ahead in the MVP race because he missed so much time. But when he was on the court, I thought he was a more effective guard than Steph Curry. I'm not slighting Steph. Steph is a miraculous player. But Harden was controlling the game from the point guard position, unlike almost anyone has ever controlled the game this year. I mean, he's had MVP seasons and caliber seasons in the past, Stephen A., but I've never seen him play like he was playing this year. By the way, no KD, sometimes no Kyrie, still beating all kinds of teams. I think that you have to put this season Harden ahead of Steph. I would put this season close, but Damian Lillard ahead of Steph. And that's to say nothing of point forwards. You know, they're not little like Steph, but they basically fulfill the same responsibilities in the offense. Like, who's the greatest point guard of all time, really? LeBron James, if you consider him a point guard, which he kind of is nowadays. What's Luka Doncic nowadays? Sort of a point guard. You want to call him a point forward, okay. But it's not a point forward like Anthony Mason or Scottie Pippen were once point forwards. It's a different kind of animal. So I put those guys ahead of Steph, too, let alone Lillard and Harden this season.
Well, first of all, the question wasn't who's having the best season. Because if I'm looking at the best season, I'm not going to just look at numbers. I'm going to look at effectiveness. I'm going to look at what you're working with, what you're working against, et cetera, et cetera. James Harden had at least Kyrie on the court or KD. Certainly not both of them, but he had one of them. That's number one. When you look at Damian Lillard, Robert Covington is no scrub. Enes Kanter is no scrub. Gary Trent Jr. was no scrub before he was traded. Carmelo Anthony is there. So when you look at some of the pieces that he had in place compared to what Steph Curry had in place, I'd say they're a little bit better than what Steph Curry was working with on the offensive side of the ball in Golden State this year. But I'm not talking about who's having the best season because, again, I think that when you look at a Damian Lillard, you look at the James Harden, those guys, they were MVP candidates. You're not going to call Steph Curry that when they've been up and down in Golden State all season long. And Klay Thompson is chewing them out because they lose in a game to Toronto by 60. I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. But when you look in overall the general question about the best guard in the NBA, I'm the one that brought up the discussion is that, listen, Irvin Magic Johnson, by far, is considered the greatest point guard to have ever played the game. People like Michael Jordan and others have Magic Johnson number one, Isaiah Thomas number two. And I'm the one that brought up, when are we going to put Steph Curry into the conversation? Because of the different dynamic he brings to the equation as a point guard, not just with his shooting ability with the dribble or off the dribble, standing still on a move or whatever. It's his movement without the basketball. It's the fact that he creates havoc because everybody and their mother knows you can't leave him open for a second or it's a three-point shot. So I look at it from that perspective, and that's when I'm answering the question overall in general.
Hold up. You and I are going to have to debate this coming up. I know you said it was the day I wasn't here. I just gotten the COVID vaccine, the Pfizer vaccine. I lost my voice as a side effect the next day, so I wasn't here. I think that was Tuesday, right? Stephen A., when Magic Johnson, who was a 19-year-old rookie, he'd turned 20 by the finals, was in the finals against Daryl Dawkins and the Sixers. Mm-hmm. He jumped at center because Kareem wasn't there as a 20-year-old who entered the season 19 as a rookie and gave him, 42-15-8, something
15.
Like that? 42-15. 42-15 as a rookie and won the championship, and that was the deciding game, right? Like, okay, Steph Curry was the captain of the greatest half-court offense of all time, and in Game 7 at home, for the greatest season ever on the line, 73 wins, his offense couldn't score a single point in the last 4 minutes and 22 seconds. That is blasphemy to compare Steph Curry favorably to Magic Johnson as the greatest point guard of all time.
Yes, I am comparing it because I think that they bring two different things to the game. It's all a matter of what your preference is in terms of what you would prefer and what you think ultimately facilitates an offense. And I know what Magic Johnson did, and I know how phenomenal Magic Johnson is. He's a five-time champion and arguably the greatest leader we've ever seen. But when you look at what Steph Curry can do with shooting the basketball and the havoc that causes, I can't ignore that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. To the NFL, Trevor Lawrence has been projected to be the top pick in the NFL draft since leading the Clemson Tigers to the national championship during his freshman season. However, the Clemson quarterback made news in a recent interview with Sports Illustrated. He had this to say: I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. His father adding this quote: he's not award-driven. He's not, I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. Our quarterback, Dan Orlovsky, with us now. Dan, top of the morning to you, sir. We will get to you momentarily. I like the spring look. I'm into it.
I'm trying here, Mom.
Max, should the Jaguars... we're all trying. Should the Jaguars be concerned about Lawrence's comments?
Yeah, you have to be concerned. I mean, you have to be concerned. And if you don't think you have to be, I was talking to Lewis Riddick on my radio show yesterday, the Max Kellerman Show, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Dan Orlovsky is a frequent guest. And I asked Lewis Riddick, what would happen if Justin Fields said this? What do you think would happen to his draft stock? You know... I think people would be much more readily, you know, they would recognize, uh-oh. Now, am I scared to death? No, no. But, of course, your eyebrows raise because I know that there have been athletes in the past, like I think of Kevin Durant when he was on OKC. Stephen A., we used to, Marcellus and I used to talk about this on Max and Marcellus back in the day, afternoon drive in L.A. You know, he came out and said, look, it's not my whole life. There are more important things in life, that kind of stuff. And, you know, you're covering a team with Kobe Bryant back then, the Lakers. And so we're like, okay, I guess it's possible to be among the greatest of all time and not have the Mamba mentality. I know that, you know, Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant and Larry Bird and these killers did it one way. KD may just be a different kind of cat. And as it turned out, he was indeed, you know, great. But it's not usually the way it goes. We can't pretend that we don't get a little bit alarmed when we don't hear Tom Brady in a guy. When we don't hear a guy, I eat, sleep, I live this. If you cut open my head, all you find is a football. That's all I want to do is win, 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 win. It's possible he could be great anyway. It's just not normally the way it goes. And so, of course, I would be concerned.
I have very little concern. I get your point as it pertains to what if Justin Fields had said that? What if Trey Lance had said that? Because let's face reality. We live in a time and age where no matter how much we try to debunk it, shove it aside or whatever, black individuals that play the quarterback position are judged differently. We see it. We see evidence time and time again. I personally am incredibly alarmed by how Justin Fields could be viewed as the number two quarterback once the season is over. And without a game being played, an interception being thrown, a turnover being committed, suddenly he's number five. Even though now Vegas has him moving up, the odds are in favor of him moving up to the number three slot instead of all the way down to number five behind Mac Jones and Trey Lance. So that's a different subject to another day. But as it pertains to Trevor Lawrence, let me tell you why I have very little concern. Part of the reason I have very little concern is his resume. His resume, he's completed 66.6% of his passes. He's thrown 90 touchdowns and just 17 interceptions in 3 years. His record is 39-3. He's a national champion. He's been to the playoffs all 3 years. This dude has been electrifying for the most part. And there was a college football season last year because of him in large part, because he stood up and raised his voice and talked about the importance of these games continuing to be played. So let's not underestimate it at all. He might not be giving the media anything for bulletin board or headline material, but the reality is that he is passionate about a few things, and when he has been passionate about it, he's expressed himself in a way that lets us know he's not some cyborg like you would call Kawhi Leonard, Max. So let's take that into consideration. And last but not least, nobody else is going to say it, so I will. You know what? He's not black, to my knowledge. He doesn't come from an impoverished background or anything like that. So what chip should he have on his shoulders? The reality of the situation is that life has been very, very comfortable for him. And we know that the sky's the limit for him in the future. So as a result of that, you know what? It doesn't bother me that he doesn't walk around with a chip on his shoulders, because he doesn't have to. He can just go out there and perform without a care in the world. Because compared to most people, he doesn't really have that much to worry about, considering the kind of life that he has had and the kind of life he's earned and will continue to earn. I have no problem with what he said coming from him.
Yeah, a motivation is fleeting. Habits are everything. You know, Trevor Lawrence is talking about, I'm not motivated to prove people wrong or to prove doubters wrong. Motivation comes and goes. You guys know that, especially for athletes. Motivation comes and goes. What's your habits like? I need you to have championship habits. You're the person that's going to go to bed every night and have to get up in the morning and do the work. Are you committed to those habits rather than being motivated by what some people say? Now, initially when I heard these comments, I was taken back. I was like, wait, what? He said what? Because my thought process was like, how is he going to go be great? Like, how can you go be great thinking that way? But something that, you know, I've been reminded of with my past month or so in talking with NFL general managers and honestly tied to the things that I had said that I had heard about with Justin Fields is the tape is everything. The tape is everything, and the tape is everything. And there is nothing on Trevor Lawrence's tape that makes me think he's not committed to football. And a quote in this article, in this Sports Illustrated article, it's a great article, a quote that is being left out is at the very end of the article. I'd tell everybody something again that I've been reminded about of last month is do every bit of your homework that is necessary. Because I read the whole article, and the very end of the article says that his high school coach at Lawrenceville, Georgia, brought him in there in high school. And he said, Trevor, what are your goals? You got to give me a goal. You got to have a goal. And Trevor Lawrence didn't even look at him. He just looked off and said, I want to be one of the greatest to ever do it. And that's not getting talked about, right? So, like, if he's committed to that, if that is something that is internalized for him, then him saying, I'm not motivated, there is no doubt. He's been the guy since he was 13 years old. So I don't have any concerns about it. And it is potentially a different situation for him in compared to other quarterbacks.
Dan and Max, you'll smile when I tell you this little story. Indulge me for a second. I want to tell you a little story. So I'm covering the Philadelphia 76ers years ago. And Larry Brown is lamenting and just complaining about Allen Iverson. You know what I'm saying? Stevie, you don't understand. Stevie's got to come to practice on time. He's got to do this. He's got to do that, right? So Allen gets so tired, AI gets so tired, Max, of hearing Larry Brown's mouth. Guess what AI did? AI's like, I'm not going to hang out with my boys. I'm not doing anything. I'm going to be on my best behavior. And people were wondering what was wrong with him, because you could always find him at Fridays on City Avenue in Philadelphia off the main line and all of this other stuff, right? Allen Iverson spent like 10 days to 2 weeks going home early, getting to bed, getting sleep, getting to bed on time, the whole bit. He's the father, he's the husband, he's home in the house, doing everything, I mean, just the right way. Went in one of the worst shooting slumps he's ever had in his career.
Yeah.
Allen Iverson goes on, he's like, hell with all of this. I'm tired of it. I'm done, right? The night before, Max, this brother's out till like 3 in the morning, okay? 3 in the morning. Came out the next night, eyes red. You understand? Looked like he didn't get any sleep. He dropped 58.
That's what 58. Who brought you.
58. There's just some people, yes, man. They got to be them. They got to be them. You know, you can't be worried about, oh, they didn't say the right thing, or they didn't do things just this right way. There's just certain dudes, man, that it just don't work for them.
Well, another way to read what Trevor Lawrence said, which is why I said I'm concerned, but I'm not like sounding alarm bells, is he's process oriented. You know,
correct.
In other words, if he and Stephen A., I think a lot of that has to do with what you're talking about. What has he got to sweat? He's 6'6". He's got the best arm. He's fast. He's athletic. He has championship pedigree. He won a championship in college. Like, what is he sweating, really? So what? And the way apparently he's done all those things is focus on today, right? Like, focus on the process.
Right.
So there's a way to read what he's saying where you don't have to be alarmed. He's just saying, like, I got to focus on the process. But the reason I'm saying concerned is this, and his own father is saying he's not the dude who's going to, you know, Kobe and Jordan and Bird and Tom Brady, they'd gnaw off their own arm to win a Super Bowl championship, right? That's what we're used to. Not everyone has to do it that way, but usually the greatest of all time sort of fit into that mentality.
Yeah, and I'd say this, though, in reply, Max, I don't care what his dad said. Because, again, Dad, this is my journey. This is my walk. You're not going to bed with me and getting up at 4 in the morning to do the work. You're not watching the tape. You're not doing the drills. I don't care what you said, Dad. This is my passion. This is my love. And I remember Peyton Manning, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, hearing Peyton Manning talk about playing. And he said, I didn't do all that extra work, and I didn't take a single snap to prove other people wrong. I did it out of the reverence of the game. And so at the end of the day, everybody's got their own little walk, their own little way to go accomplish what they want to go accomplish. And I think Trevor Lawrence is just being candid with us. And again, this is the same interview that Trevor Lawrence stated, I just want to be the best to ever do it. It's his words.
Yeah. It appears it's working out for him because he's the projected number one overall pick. We all think he's going to the Jags, who for the first time ever have that first pick.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The New England Patriots have the number 15 pick. However, many think they will potentially trade up for a higher selection. Inquiring minds want to know where and if they'll go get a quarterback. Here's Bill Belichick on the draft.
You know, at 15, I think we could eliminate a few players that won't be at 15. And then you could look at a couple scenarios and say, well, if you know, these three players are there, which one would we take? If these other three different players are there, which one would you take? You know, you go through that exercise and talk about that. I would say normally something will happen, and there could very well be a player there that either you don't expect to be there, or maybe he is a couple spots, maybe at 12, 13, he's still on the board, and you really thought that he'd be gone in the top 6, 7 picks. And then that, and, you know, then the question comes, you know, do you move up and try to get that player that's fallen a little bit?
Stephen A., what do you think? Do you expect Bill to trade up and try to get a quarterback?
Hell yeah. He better. Let's call this what it is. Look, y'all, do you understand that last year the New England Patriots offense was ranked 27th in yards, 27th in points? They had the 30th ranked passing attack, which was third worst in the entire National Football League. Do y'all know that for the previous 14 years, 14 seasons to be specific, the New England Patriots offense never ranked lower than 8th ever in 14 years? And then the 1 year Tom Brady leaves, Cam Newton comes on board, they go from that to 27th, okay, and 30th in passing. Now, we understand COVID, and we understand what kind of rippling effect that had on the franchise. We also understand how it directly impacted Cam Newton. We get all of that. But the reality of the situation is that we don't know what Cam is going to be able to give them. Bill Belichick needs a quarterback, plain and simple. And so it's a priority, and it should be priority number one for him to do everything that he can to move up to get a Justin Fields. Because Justin Fields is basically a better and younger version of Cam Newton, as far as I'm concerned. When you consider this dude's arm talent, his size, his athleticism, his speed, this is a guy that you got to take a strong, hard look at and see if you can do all that you can to get it. And if you can't get him, then go for Trey Lance or go for Mac Jones. But you better get somebody. Because Jared Stidham ain't the answer, in my opinion. And I don't think Cam Newton is the long-term answer. And so if you're Bill Belichick, you need a quarterback. I have no problem with saying that. They better do everything they can. Considering the position that they're in now, I don't know if they'll be in a better position in the future to get a quarterback. And San Francisco doesn't look to be willing to give Jimmy Garoppolo back, at least not for the second-round pick. Bill Belichick gave him up four. I don't see that happening. He better go out and get himself a quarterback.
Well, even if that's true, I think you're right. He should. I think if Justin Fields is within spitting distance, you know, someone like that, and Belichick believes in him, then you trade up. But that's what Belichick said he would do. You know, he's saying, if I got to move up a little bit and there's a guy who falls, I consider doing that. But I don't think he needs to move up at all costs, because you also can't just create a great quarterback. You can't wish him into existence. You can't even really develop him into existence if it's not in him to begin with. And some drafts, the guys just aren't there. In other drafts, maybe they are. Maybe this is one of those drafts. And if Belichick feels like it is, go ahead, grab someone if he falls. But Stephen A., let's keep in mind, Tom Brady was drafted in the 6th round. That's the guy who won all those championships with New England. And when Belichick finally wanted to have a successor to Tom Brady, he found him in the 2nd round in Garoppolo. Garoppolo took a different team to the Super Bowl. You could say, well, he didn't take him there. He was one throw away from winning the Super Bowl. He has won three times as much as he's lost in the NFL for teams that lose 2 to 3 times as much as they win when he's not playing. So that's where he found him in the second round. You don't necessarily have to move up to take a guy if you feel like, yeah, some guy fell, but he's not the right guy. I like this other guy in the second or third round who's more of a project. That's how the Patriots have done it so far. Justin Fields, I'll tell you this. If Justin Fields is there and Belichick has to move up 3, 4 slots, 5 slots and get Justin Fields, I think it would be advisable. And in fact, I would predict that's what would happen. But that doesn't mean just because a lot of people say, hey, Mac Jones is kind of like Tom Brady, that if Belichick doesn't see that and Mac Jones slides, that Belichick needs to move up to get him. There could be someone he likes, Trask or someone like that, who he likes more, who he can get later on.
Okay. My attitude is, if you have an opportunity to get one of these quarterbacks, you take them. You know, once upon a time, we were projecting that all five were going to go in the top 10, amongst the top 10 picks. Obviously, people feel high enough on these guys. So to me, it's worth the risk. You got to have a quarterback, because what we've seen is that, listen, without a quarterback, what are you going to be able to pull off in the National Football League? The answer is not much. It's the most important position. You got to secure it.
Well, you need
a QB. And right now, it's very insecure when it comes to the New England Patriots, and there's no denying that.
To say nothing of the fact that the following quarterbacks could be changing destinations in the next couple of years, Stephen A., you already mentioned Jimmy G. What about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson? Because there's a chance those guys could be available. Matt Stafford just got traded. There's talent out there. Who knows how much longer Matt Ryan will be in Atlanta. There's talent out there, and their quarterbacks moving teams. There's more than one way for Bill Belichick to do this.
No question. He certainly knows how to work the draft better than anybody, even if people have questioned him the last couple years.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.